of records, just some ones that I've highlighted. We have a privilege in prayer. Many privileges come from prayer. So from our Old Testament, we see many records here. We've got Abraham's servant Eleazar, and he went to prayer to God, recorded in Genesis chapter 24, verses 12 through 21. And during Eliezer's journey, he was out on a journey to find a wife for Isaac, the son of Sarah and Abraham, or Abraham and Sarah. And he prayed to God that he would know exactly who was to be Isaac's wife. We have a recorded prayer here from Moses in chapter 32 of Exodus. Just one of his intercessory prayers. As Moses was returning from his time spent with God up on Mount Sinai, he received the Ten Commandments. He was up there for a period of 40 days and 40 nights. As he was coming down the mountain, he became aware of the golden calf, the idol that was cast and made. And at that point, he threw down the tablets that contained the Ten Commandments. They hit the ground and they broke. But here's where Moses' prayer comes in. He turned around and went back up the mountain so that he could pray and be and speak with God and petition on behalf of the Israelites. He was seeking God's forgiveness, God's patience, God's mercy on the Israelites, the ones that have just been brought out of Egypt. But not to get wrapped up in any individual prayer. There are so many examples that are recorded throughout the Old Testament. Just wanted to give us a little bit of a taste. Prayer is a little different in the Old Testament. We have prayers in the Old Testament. The examples they give us, they range from anything of adoration in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, to those that are directed to Yahweh. The closest I could find to Z, by the way. So they're directed to Yahweh in Psalm 86. And suffice it to say that prayer was made for anything and everything. We'll narrow that down just a little bit here shortly. So that brings a story to mind that if prayer's for everything, I was riding with my uncle and my cousin in a grain truck. That's always a place to pray, right? It's an old grain truck. We're in a cornfield. The grain truck's full of corn, ready to go to the elevator. My uncle was driving. I was around the age of 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. My cousin just a year and a half, 2 years older than me. If recollection serves me, my uncle made a comment about the grain truck and about the field. And so here's where I need to paint the picture. So obviously it's harvest. We're in stubble. We've got the stalks left remaining. But it's a little bit dry. And that old grain truck wasn't running tip-top. She was backfiring a little bit on the way out of the field. So I believe my uncle's comment was something like, "Boy, I hope this truck doesn't catch the field on fire." At that point, I don't remember what my cousin said, but I'm rather certain he made a comment, and then I started in and out loud and went for my comment, and it started something like, now again, this is many years ago, almost 30. "God, please keep the field from catching," and I don't think I got to finish. I got interrupted by my uncle. It's not that he's not a believer. It's not that he was shouting out an amen. I think he thought I was being a little smart aleck. Now, in his defense, I don't remember whether I was or not, so I'm going to defer and probably assume that maybe as a little guy I was a little more smart aleck at that point than I should have been. I don't know. But I started a prayer. It sounded like one. But if we went back and I were to be able to do that situation all over again right now, my understanding of prayer, as I know it now, God would have wanted to hear even that prayer. He wants to hear from us. some words from Adrian Rogers, and he's answering his own question to set it up. His question is, for what is proper to pray? And here's where this awesome quote, if you know Adrian Rogers, and no, he's not one of those old Western guys that rides a horse. I was confused with Adrian Rogers. The Adrianisms, I always thought that was a Western actor for the longest of times. I've got that straightened out now. Adrian Rogers, a pastor of a great church. So here's his quote. If it concerns you, it concerns God. If it concerns you, it concerns God. Wow. I can never, that's so simple, but I could never coin a quote-worthy phrase like that. So I want you to get your Bibles. We're going to turn to 2 Kings, because that's where all the good things happen, right? 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 2. And this will be the start of our sermon text. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 2. Now Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and injured himself. So he sent messengers saying to them, go and consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury. Kind of an awkward place to start, right? We're talking about a prayer that wasn't even to God himself. But this is to set up the response. It was not intended to be a prayer to God, but let's continue and let's see who answers this question. So we continue right there. 2 Kings chapter 1, now we're verses 3 and 4. But the angel of the Lord, and that's capital L, by the way. That's not just some God down the road. This is the one true God. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going off to consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. You will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. So Elijah went. Now the rest of that story as it finishes out is extremely dramatic. But all we have to do is see right here that God himself heard that prayer. It wasn't intended to be to him, but he absolutely heard it. He heard it so loud, he took action on what he had heard. He sent a messenger to make sure that this message would be received and exactly what God intended to be heard. So these verses, they just kept spinning in my mind. And they showed us how we all pray in one type, one fashion, or another. Prayer is generally thought to be to God. That's how, hopefully, we see it. But are there times when we pray and it's not to God? Well, we have examples that there are prayers that are not to God. So as they spun in my mind, and we know that God hears prayers, God wants to answer prayers. Throughout the Old Testament, there's a select few, if we think through those, we heard Moses up on the mountain. He was speaking with God almost face to face, or as close as you could really get. And there are many more records like that. There were select few that could actually get right into the presence of God. In order to pray, and especially to be in God's direct presence, many special things had to happen, especially in the Old Testament. Many specific instructions had to be followed. Many sacrifices had to be made. So was that truly a privilege to go to God in prayer during that dispensation, that time frame? Or was it a full-time job that you had to meet all these specific requests, requirements? Or in some cases, was it a death sentence? We can see from what was, we see the past from our Old Testament examples. But you and I, everyone that is hearing me right now, we are in the what is. We are in the time of now. And it amazes me every time and any time that I pause and I put thought to the fact that once the New Testament began, we're still under the same rules with God, if you will, that the apostles were. They haven't changed. We are following the same rules approaching God as they had. We are in the same dispensation of grace that stirred the New Testament to be written. It is absolutely a time of privilege, especially the privilege of prayer. The temporary Sunday school teacher, so substitute, right? It's always fun when you're the substitute. The kids seem to know more than you about what should be done and when and all the rest, just like I can get this whole worship out of order. Anyway, she's in there. She's struggling to open the combination lock on the supply cabinet. Does anybody find it funny that inside the church there needs to be a combination lock on supplies? Just thought. Sorry, we'll continue. So she's struggling with the combination lock. She had been told the combination, but she couldn't quite remember it. She was struggling. She tried a few times. Finally, she went to the pastor's study and she asked the pastor for help. The pastor came into the room and began to turn the dial. After the first two numbers, he paused and stared blankly for a moment. And then finally, he looked serenely heavenward. And his lips moved silently. Then he looked back at the lock and quickly turned to the final number and he opened the lock. The teacher was amazed. "I'm in awe of your faith, Pastor." "Oh, I am so in awe of your faith." The pastor's reply, "It's really nothing. The number is on a piece of paper on the ceiling." Even if we're struggling to remember things, God wants us to pray to Him. He doesn't just want us to look at the number that's on the ceiling. He wants us to pray. If it's on the ceiling, we pray to thank Him that it's there and we can find it. If we can't remember it, we pray that He'll restore our memory. We're given the greatest example of what and how to pray by Jesus Himself. Anybody know where that's at? The Lord's Prayer. He gives us that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. Anytime you talk about prayer, if you don't mention the Lord's Prayer, I think you'd be amiss. But that's not where we're going to focus our study on. Chad's given plenty of great teaching on the Lord's Prayer. There's no need for me to try and mess that up. We're going to steer slightly off of that. We're going to try and focus in on recognizing personally within ourselves what a privilege we have been given in prayer. Here's a quote that I've come across from E.M. Bounds that might help us in our realization of what a privilege we truly have in prayer. One might say, if it's not the greatest of privileges of a Christian's life, that is at minimum one of the greatest privileges. So here's the quote from E.M. Bounds. "Promises are God's golden fruit to be plucked by the hand of prayer. Promises are God's incorruptible seed to be sown and tilled by prayer. Prayer and the promises are interdependent. The promise inspires and energizes prayer, but the prayer locates the promise and gives realization and location." Prayer is, this is off his quote now, Prayer is the integral part of our faith growing. Prayer is what brings the power of God out in our lives. And we can look quickly to a great teacher in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. This would be Paul as he's writing. It's an amazing prayer. He'd done a lot of teaching prior to this prayer in chapters 1 and through 3 up to verse 14. But his prayer is a summary of what prayer can be. The reason that prayer is such a privilege are all the other privileges that it unlocks within our lives. If you'll follow with me there. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the same measure of all the fullness of God. Paul is teaching us through this prayer that we can pray for strength. We can pray for the filling and strengthening of the Holy Spirit in us, that we can truly have that power. Paul also says that we best be praying that Jesus Christ will be at home in our hearts, be at home in our churches, and absolutely at home in our faith as it grows. We must also pray to be immersed, rooted, grounded in love. We pray to be filled with the absolute fullness of God. Our privilege of prayer allows that we can ask and it will be given to you in Matthew 7, 7 through 11. That's just a summary, of course. We just have to ask and believe and receive in Matthew 21, verse 22. But is that it? A checkup. So we have to think back to Ahaziah here. So here's a story to test us if we learned anything on who we pray to from Ahaziah's story. A little boy was kneeling beside his bed with his mother and grandmother and softly saying his prayers. Dear God, please bless mommy and daddy and all the family, and please give me a good night's sleep. And suddenly he looked up and he shouted, and don't forget to give me a bicycle for my birthday. Whoa, said the mom. There's no need to sound or yell like that. No need to shout. God isn't deaf. The boy replied, no, but grandma is. He was splitting his prayer that night, one to God and one to grandma. God wants us to be praying to him. As we're about to learn, there are just a few specific things that God makes sure that we know. And one of those first things that we're going to focus on, he wants us to ask. He wants us to ask. But as we ask, it's not as though he's a genie. It's not the one that he's going to grant that wish. But he does want us to ask. We go to John 14, chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. And this clarifies for us what Matthew had started, that might seem we can ask anything and it'll be given to us. There's just a small caveat. So as we go, John 14, verses 13 through 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. By the way, these are Jesus' words, not mine. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son, you may ask me, Jesus, for anything in my name, and I will do it. Those words shared for us by John. There was a study that I'd run across, again, from Adrian Rogers. He's such a quotable guy. What a teacher of God's word. So he poses another question as he's teaching about prayer. What should we pray in the name of Jesus? Because John 14, verses 13 through 14, tell us that we can anything that's asked in his name. Well, Jesus is going to be the filter on that asking. So we're to consider, as we ask and pray in the name of Jesus, is it going to get Jesus' approval? Does Jesus approve of this thing that I'm going to pray for and ask in his name? Is it for his authorization? Okay, has he already told us in Scripture about what I'm about to ask? Has he already said, this is something that I like? This is what I want you to pray for. Something we might not have yet, but something he wants to give us. Lastly, is it for his acclaim? Is it for God's glory? Does it glorify Jesus Christ when we ask in prayer in Jesus' name? Does it ultimately bring Jesus glory? When we ask, there are some specific things we need to do. And it goes through there again. So the summary again, is it for his approval? Has he already approved of it? Has he authorized it? Is he wanting you to already know and have what you're asking for? You just don't have it yet. And ultimately, does it glorify him? So as we're wrapping up, I want to look at how absolutely you and I, we've absolutely been afforded this privilege of prayer. We can see that it's changed from Old Testament, where they had to go through specific individuals. Not everybody could approach God, just right out and walk up and approach God. It's been changed. Prayer can take you and I to this great far extent. And I know sometimes I fall short of recognizing how far prayer takes me. There's a very specific moment in history that changed, it altered who had access to God. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are immediately in the presence of God. That very instant. When we pray, we go to God. We get to go to his throne room, is how I picture it. The reality is we get to go to his presence, wherever that's at. We are no longer separated from him through his son, Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 15, verse 38, the curtain of the temple was torn. It was torn in two from top to bottom. Matthew 27, 51, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. Once that veil, the curtain, was torn, once it was in two, God changed the rules of access to be able to go directly to him. Any person that believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior becomes a priest that would be able to go beyond that curtain, but the curtain's no longer there. We get to go in the presence of God at any moment in time when we step out in prayer, praying in the name of Jesus. A priest, we've become that priest, a priest that must pray and in prayer may grow in our faith so that we can prayerfully intercede for this world, ultimately glorifying God. Our privilege in prayer, the way we now have begun to understand it, began at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection absolutely changed what prayer is throughout the Bible. I pray that as a part of the church, if ever we feel as though we're failing, we're falling or slacking on our prayer, that we may reflect back that this privilege changed. It became ours at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is at that very moment that when we struggle to pray, he gave us that right. He's giving us that privilege right there, that we can transport ourselves from where we are here. Whether you're walking down this aisle, thinking about what you've got to do this afternoon, and they've got to be at five places at once, you can pray, and you'll immediately be in the presence of God. Not because you're in the church, but because Jesus Christ is yours. He's your Savior. At that point, we can pray and step away from, just for a millisecond, from what it is that's taking over our lives, and we get to join and be in the presence of God. Let me consult the schedule. I try and skip this all too often. How guilty I am. If you'll join me in prayer, you can come forward to the altar. May we be with the Lord at this time. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Father, we understand that we are no longer in the Church of Covell. We are with you. We are absolutely in your presence. Father, what a privilege that is. But Father, we understand that Jesus Christ had to pay that price for us to make that possible. Father, one day we'll be in your presence permanently. But until then, may we remember that, Father, as we pray, we're in your presence here and now. Father, it's so important to our lives, to our faith walk. It's just cyclical in how it works. It helps to open and unlock your promises. Father, you want us to pray to you. You want us to challenge you and seek out those things that have not yet been given to us. But Father, as we do those, we recognize that it's to be of your will. Father, we can come to you with our will. But Father, I hope that we'll leave craving yours. And that it'll be fulfilled and carried out in our lives. Father, it is our privilege to join together as a church family and praying on behalf of those who are not with us. Father, those who are traveling, and we pray for safe return. Father, for those who are sick and not able to be here. Father, we love them, we care for them, and we miss them, and we know that you would like for them to be here with us as well. Father, we know that you can restore them, be it the distance of miles or, Father, the restoring of their health. Father, our faith is to be relying upon your power and not ours. Father, and that's only going to be strengthened and made known to us through prayer, and help us to be ready to recognize the privilege that we have and not to give it away and not to set it aside. Father, prayer isn't some major thing that you want us to do. It doesn't have to be scripted. Father, you just want our hearts. You want us to converse with you. And Father, we thank you for that. Teach us what it is to pray to you and talk with you all throughout each and every day. Father, ultimately, may your name be glorified. We love you and thank you for your written word, for your teachings, your promises. Father, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you'll stand with me, we'll sing our closing song. It is that we can join together as a church family and unite in prayer and go and be in the presence of God together. But let us not forget how great it is to be in the presence of God when it's just us and Him as well. How amazing of a time that is. Prayer can sometimes be a challenge. We can do those quick prayers. I hope that you'll respect those as prayers and recognize that throughout the middle of your day, immediately you've stepped away and you have been in the presence of God. But that does not take away from the time where spending that time alone in secret with God in prayer, how much He wants to strengthen each one of us for everything that He has in store for us to do and carry out. May we go and pray all week long until we meet again. Have a great week.